If you want more of those, we have some more. You're welcome to take those in the back. And at the end of the service, Karen Blank is going to have an announcement about a free will offering to the group that we work with that provided those. So stay tuned for that. So thank you. Thank you, mothers. Thank you, grandmothers, aunts, all of our faithful women. And we are going to continue now with our message. Or maybe in just a moment. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to start today with a question for you. A few questions, actually. Let me ask, how important to you is a promise? How important to you is a promise? How confident can you be when someone makes a promise to you? Do you trust people generally? Do you not? Are there certain people you don't? Let me ask, how disappointed are you when someone maybe breaks a promise that they've made to you? You know, if you think about it, we put a lot of importance on the promises that we make in our lives. You know, there's many times and places indeed where we feel like it's good or even necessary to make a promise. Maybe when you go to court, right? You testify before a judge, a jury. You take an oath. You make a promise that you're going to tell the truth. When you are elected, if you're appointed to a government office, you become a representative, a judge, a mayor, someone like that. When that happens, you make a promise, right? You make a promise to the people whom you're going to serve. When you become an American citizen, some of our friends know this, you make a promise, right? You make a promise to your new nation. You make a new promise to your new fellow citizens. Certain professions. If you become a doctor, if you become a lawyer, a pastor, I can tell you from personal experience, some other professions, when you enter into that profession fully, before you begin practicing, often you make a promise. You make a promise to uphold the principles and the ethics of the profession. When you enter the military, if you have served, right, you know this, you make a promise. You take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the nation. And these are all important promises to us, but probably even more important to us are the personal promises we make. We make promises when we get married, right? To love and to hold, to love and to honor, to have and to hold, in sickness and in health, for better, for richer and poorer, for better and worse, right? Until death parts us. We make promises to our children. We say to them, hey, I'll be there for you, for your show, for your game, for whatever's going on. We make promises to our friends to support them. We make promises to our parents to care for them. We make promises. And I think if we think about promises, we would all say that we consider the promises we make to be very important. We intend to keep them. And I think we'd also say that when we have broken promises, or when someone fails to live up to their commitments to us, those broken promises are disheartening, even depressing. And when someone, a friend or a family member, consistently fails to keep their promises, well, it doesn't take too long for us to just stop trusting that person, period. Some of us have experienced that, I know. Well, we just read the first portion of Psalm 105, and this is a song of praise and thanksgiving to God, and it is all about how God has kept his promises. We read at the beginning, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. And what has God done? Well, we see this in the next few verses. In verse 5, we hear he's done wonders, miracles, judgments, mighty things. But all of these are apart. They point to this proclamation we hear in verse 8, that God, he remembers his covenant forever. He remembers the promise he made for 1,000 generations. God keeps his promises. And that's good news for you and me, I think. And, you know, while we can say that in general, God keeps his promises to you and me, God keeps his promises to his people, Psalm 105 is actually talking about a specific promise that God made to his people. Psalm 105 is really focused on one specific promise that God made a long time ago to Abraham, who would be the father of God's people. Way back in Genesis chapter 17, in the very beginning of the Bible, God promised Abraham that he would give Abraham a homeland. God promised Abraham that he would give Abraham a land for himself and his descendants, and that promise is quoted right here in Psalm 105. And so we can keep reading. In verses 9 and 10, it gets clear that we're talking about this specific promise. In verse, remember, God remembers a promise he made. In verse 9 goes on that God remembers the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And so we read that God made this promise to Abraham and confirmed it to Abraham's son Isaac and to Isaac's son Jacob. And here is the promise that God made to this family, this one family a long time ago. He says, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. This is the promise of a homeland. And of course, the story goes, if you know your stories in Genesis and Exodus, Abraham's family, they lived in Canaan for a time. There was a famine in the land. They went to Egypt. There they grew into a great nation, even as they were enslaved by Pharaoh. This lasted for 400 years. After that time, God brought his people out of Egypt. He brought them to the promised land. God brought them back to this very same land, which he had promised their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so long before. So God kept his promises to them. And we can say that God keeps his promises to us today too, and that's good news, and we can thank and praise him for that. But, you know, if we stop and think about this psalm, if we stop and think about this fact, you might come to some questions that get a little difficult to answer, if you think about it. You know, you might start to wonder, why are we giving thanks and praise to God just for keeping his promises? You know, after all, isn't that kind of like the baseline? Isn't that the minimum expectation? When we make a promise, we ought to keep it. We mentioned a moment ago, we all consider promises to be very important, right? I think we would all agree that we only ought to make promises that we have the intent to keep and we have the ability to keep. And so, you know, what's going on here? Are we giving thanks and praise to God just for doing what we would expect anyone to do? Shouldn't we just expect that? Well, imagine, you know, just to make this a little clearer, imagine for a moment you run a business, right? You've got employees. I know some of us have done this. Maybe you've managed others, but imagine for a moment it's the end of a long day. It's been a hard day. You're tired. You're ready to go home, and one of your employees comes up to you, wants to speak to you, and this person says, you know what? I have something really important to tell you, something great. I did my job today. I did what you have paid me to do. Are you going to give this person praise? Well, probably not, right? Because that's the bare minimum. You know, they have agreed to do some work for you in exchange for you paying them. And you just, nobody in their right mind expects praise just for doing the minimum. Now, for all of you who are thinking right now and you say to yourself, I know someone who's really like that. That's probably not a healthy attitude. But we expect people to honor their promises, right? We say there's something wrong when they don't. Maybe think of this situation too. Hey, you're a mom or you're a dad. Your child has an event, a show, a game, or maybe just some time set apart when you said you would spend with them. We would say to showing up to that thing is the expectation, right? It's not above and beyond. It's not worthy of extra praise. It's the expectation. You got to be there for your child when you say you will be. So back to that question, why do we give praise and thanks to God just for keeping his promises? You know, is Psalm 105 telling us to give God glory just for doing something we would expect anyone to do? Well, the answer is no. No, it's not. Because the truth is that God doesn't just keep his promises. He doesn't just keep his promises. God's faithfulness to us, actually, it goes above and beyond. And this psalm is a great example of that. We can keep reading and we see this. You know, after we hear the promise that God made in verse 11, then we get a picture of what God's faithfulness looks like in the next few verses of the psalm. The psalmist here, he's talking about the journey which God's people took on their way from Egypt to the promised land. When he says this, he says, when they, this is God's people, when they were few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, strangers in the land that God had promised to them, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. God allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings, saying, don't touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. So God was protecting them. Now, when God's people moved into the Holy Land, this is the truth of the journey. Their journey wasn't straight. It could have been a very short trip, but instead it took them 40 years of wandering in the desert. And when they moved to the Holy Land, their journey wasn't easy either. They encountered all kinds of hardship. They had problems with food, with water, with nations. Their journey wasn't peaceful either. They encountered kings and kingdoms that ranged from simply unhelpful on the one hand to downright hostile on the other. And so they had all sorts of problems, all sorts of challenges through this long and dangerous journey. But through it all, God was faithful to them. Through it all, God kept his promise to them, and God eventually gave them peace and the rest in the land that he had promised them. And this difficult, dangerous journey is why I say that God's faithfulness goes above and beyond. But it's not just because God cared for them through it all. It's not just because God was faithful to them for a long period of time. Here's why. It's because of the reason that journey took so long. The reason that journey took so long, the reason it took 40 years instead of a few months, a year or two, something like that, the reason that journey took 40 years is because God's people were unfaithful constantly, over and over again. So the people complained, and they didn't trust God to feed them. They didn't trust God to give them water in the wilderness, and God provided for them. The people turned to other gods. They even made their own idols. And God was faithful to them. The people didn't respect and obey God as he commanded them to. They disrespected the altar that he made and the way he commanded them to worship. And God didn't wipe them out. The people even made it to the promised land the first time, if you know this story. But when they got there, they didn't actually trust God enough to give them the land he had promised to them. And so they turned around and headed back into the wilderness. And they wandered for a long, long time. You know, this is why God's faithfulness goes above and beyond. This is why we give God thanks and praise and honor and glory just for keeping his promises to us. You know, it's not just as if God said, hey, I'll do it, and then he did it. God said, hey, I'll do it, and then we ran away from him constantly, and he chased us down and blessed us anyway. That's what happened to God's people. We give God thanks and praise, honor and glory because God keeps his wonderful promises to people just like you and me who turn away from God nearly every chance we get. You know, the most dangerous part of that long and dangerous journey that God's people took, the most dangerous part had nothing to do with external stuff, the wilderness, the desert, the hostile kings and kingdoms. The most dangerous part of that long journey was the people's own hearts. Because they were turning away from God. You know, the lesson here is that God keeps his promises to us even when we don't keep our promises to him. Even when we don't keep our promises to the people in our lives. And that is good news indeed, that God keeps his promises to us. Because, you know, while God promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob a land for their people, a homeland where they would stay forever, God has promised us something much greater. God has promised us forgiveness of our sins. God has promised us new life through his son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross for you and me, we are forgiven. We're reconciled to God. We have a right relationship with him, and we are looking forward to this day of full restoration. When Jesus comes back. And that is good news. That is a good promise for you and me. And we know that God will always be faithful to his people. God will always be faithful to those promises. No matter what we do today, what we have done in the past, he is faithful to us. And he calls us to follow him because of that. You know, these last few weeks we've been talking about anointing here at Southwest and where we see that in Scripture. And today in Psalm 105, we see that in the very last verse of our reading. It's not the last verse of the psalm, but it's the last verse of the reading we have. And in Psalm 105, we see that God will always keep his promises to his anointed ones, we read. And that's you and me. That's God's people. We are set apart to follow him. God has chosen us and made us his own. He set us apart. And now just like God's people in the Old Testament, just like those anointed ones who God cared for in the wilderness, now we know that God will be faithful to us too, even when our actions don't match our words. You know, we all confess to follow Jesus. We claim him as our Lord and our Savior, but we know our lives don't always show that fact. We know that we mess up. We sin. We can't help but fail sometimes, but we're also forgiven, we know. And we know that God has given us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us and guide us in our lives following him. So even though we mess up, by the way, our lives don't always reflect our faith. It's not good to stay that way. And that is why God forgives us and gives us his Spirit. So let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you this day and this week to think of one way that you can practice being faithful to God. Maybe practice being faithful to God in one way that you don't normally do. Maybe take one opportunity that you don't normally take. And so this is going to probably be different for different people, but maybe for you this is being a little more open and public about your faith, letting your public face look more like your private face, or your Monday face look more like your Sunday face. You know, maybe this looks like being more open to talking about your life of faith with your friends and family when you aren't normally. Maybe this just looks like praying quietly before a meal when you're with a group of people, even if you're the only one there praying. Maybe this looks like offering to pray for a coworker who is with you, who's talking to you, and has shared something difficult in their life. Maybe this looks like deciding to reach out to a neighbor and asking a neighbor how you could serve them or take care of their needs when you see that there's a need there. And you know, these kinds of conversations, they can seem scary or weird to us. They can seem like something that's really hard to do, but they really don't have to be. It's a very simple thing to say to a friend who's hurting, who's already trusted you with a piece of their life. It's a very simple thing to say, hey, you know, when I've got something in my life like that, I pray. Can I pray for you right now? And that prayer can be as simple as, well, hey, Lord, we know you've promised to care for us. We know that you always keep your promises. Please be with my friend in their struggles. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a simple prayer. That's an easy thing to do. Or maybe that conversation with a neighbor could go something like saying, hey, I'm working on being a good neighbor right now. Is there something I can help you with around your home, in your life? Or is there something that we could help another neighbor with, someone else we know together? You know, these are simple things. People are blessed when you do that. And it's an opportunity to put your faith into action. And we do these things, we do things like these, I should say, because the point is to let our actions reflect the faith that we have. To let our actions reflect the words we speak when we confess our faith in Jesus and we say that we're following him. Just like the promises we've been talking about, we want our words and our confession of faith and our lives to look the same, to be consistent. And because we know that God keeps his promises to you and to me, even when we don't keep our own promises, we know that he will help us in this. We know that he is always faithful and he will continue to give us his grace. You know, the pressure to live rightly is not all the way on us. When God chose us to be his people, he also gave us the strength. He gave us the wisdom, the guidance we need to live as his people. Through his word and sacrament, through our fellowship with other believers, through our life together. And so we're God's people. We're his anointed ones. And let's live that out. Because we have his call. We have his promises. And there's nothing more we need. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to say what we believe now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. This is an ancient statement.